Well, love life wise, there isn't one anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. If I'm being very honest, I can't see anybody better for me than him. Honestly.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
That man loved me. He adored me.
I remember when my little brother, when my mom was pregnant with my little brother, I remember I was so mad. I was so angry because I was like, you're having another child for me to take care of.
Aww,
you know? Sweet. So, like, I couldn't love my siblings because they were my responsibility, which they are not supposed to, not supposed to be, you know?
So my parents are still together in the most toxic relationship I've ever witnessed in my entire life. Like, for me, for the longest time, my wish has been,
and to keep it
authentic, still is that they divorce.
I think I realized that that came from not witnessing any successful relationships at all. So it sort of wired my brain to want to make a relationship successful no matter what.
Hello, lies, go, mommy tourist.
Hi, I'm Kai, aka Adi.
Hey, besties, it's coffee, no milk, period.
I don't think she needs an introduction.
Right, you know the face, you know the name.
Like, if you're on YouTube, you know her. If you don't know her, then you're not on YouTube.
Right. Period.
Welcome to
Thought Digest.
She like she completely forgot her job.
But like, I'm like, sorry, darling,
she's
but
so
okay, I'm sorry.
Please stop it,
bestie. I'm sorry. Welcome to Thought Digest, where we
amplify conversations
one thought at a time.
We've got another guest on the show.
I'm sure you're
It's my first time on a podcast, guys. Like, my heart is pumping.
Why is it your first time, actually?
Because, I don't know, like, I'm very selective of, like, platforms I go onto.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been invited a couple of times, but then it's like, okay, what is this about, you know? So even when I got the first call, I'm like,
What is this one?
So
what made you choose us, Bessie?
Because it was giving wholesome, it was giving self-care princess, it was giving everything.
Yeah, everything
I'm about,
you,
so
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know what? This would actually
And you definitely are the self-care princess.
You are.
Right at
the
top.
You are. Like, literally, like, you know when you've watched someone, like, for a long time, and then finally you're sitting on the same couch as them. Like, I'm literally like,
don't make me feel myself. I already have a big head.
Me too, girl. All of us.
We're just like, oh, shame.
What?
The big heads.
I see how you do me when people are around.
But I have no like right to be saying that. Have you seen my especially an avocado?
Oh my goodness.
Thank you so much,
besties. In Thought Digest style. So we start off with a life update.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A holistic one. So you're gonna talk about like where you're at spiritually, where you're at physically, mentally, emotionally. All the things.
Okay.
To save space, you know that.
Okay. And I start.
Yeah.
In the video, someone else started in the guest. You know.
Okay.
I was sitting.
But you're a guestie. Okay, like, you're not like a guest. Like,
I get that.
You're our friend.
I get that. Okay, cool. So, life update on how I am doing. First of all, physically, I am doing great. I think I did share on my channel that I had a lump in my breast. So, there was like a whole. Yeah, well, for everyone else except for me, I wasn't really that scared around my health. But then I've been running, I've been exercising. Your girl has been doing, you know, things she never used to do. And I feel great, man. I feel so amazing.
Great.
Thank you. Mm. And then mentally and emotionally, I feel like I've been doing great as well. Mm. Like, for me personally, I feel like this is one of the best years since my one terrible year, which was 2022. I feel like this year I'm doing so great. And doing great doesn't mean that life is roses and sunshine. But then, like, I'm just doing amazing.
Much better.
And spiritually, now I sound like I'm bragging. Now I sound like I'm doing more. But then, like, spiritually, life has never been better. Like, I feel like, once again, this is one of the best years for me in my walk with God. I feel like now it's more personal than ever. Now there's that intimacy.
Yeah.
And, man, I just feel like I know my father upstairs. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I feel like there's a deeper knowing between me and him, a deeper relationship. And honestly, guys, I am phenomenal. I'm doing amazing.
That's wonderful. You know, that's the, like, that's one of the most positive life updates we've had on the channel.
Yes, I was about to say,
we always come here and we complain.
We rant and cry. So it's really refreshing
to hear, you know, a completely positive.
I'm glad.
We needed you. Where have you been this whole time?
Like, the positive energy is radiating.
Oh my goodness, I'm glad, guys.
I think she should have been the last one.
Yeah, she should have. Because we, you know what we're about to do now?
You're about to take it down. You know what? It's fine. If you guys had reached out in 2022, I would have started out of, like, broken down crying. Like, yeah. I just feel like life.
So, but that's a testimony and a half.
Exactly.
And I think I think I'm also going to go back on your channel and look at 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then also look at now and just celebrate with you. Yes, it's so beautiful.
Yes, I get that.
Are you ready?
I thought it was you. Okay, fine.
I'm going last because I'm down there. You know what I'm saying? So we're stuck here, middle thing, down there.
Bruh, you don't know. For me, I feel like you're saying life is like seasons. Yes. I feel like I'm currently in winter. Mm. It's very cold.
I hate winter, so yeah. I'm like scared now.
Yeah, like I'm currently in like winter. It's very cold. Actually, this week I had like serious feeling of loneliness. Yeah. I was so lonely this week, you know? Yeah. And I was so alone. But funny enough, when I was alone, I think I started talking to God again after a very long time of not talking to him, you know? Yeah. And I'm just like, is being alone a good thing?
Yeah.
Maybe it is a good thing.
Yeah.
And then it also made me like reflect, why is it like when there's people around, I don't talk to God, but like when I'm alone, I talk to him, you know? So I need to like self-introspect on that. Yeah. And then, but otherwise, I think it hasn't been like a bad week. Physically, guys, I've been going through it. Oh, flu. I wake up today in the morning, my eyes swollen. Wait. I almost cancelled this episode, but I was like, I can't.
Oh my god.
I was like, I cannot. I was like, Allergex, here I come.
You gotta be fine. Appreciate you, bestie.
But I was like, you know what? God is gonna heal. If he wants this episode out, he's gonna heal, guys.
Amen.
So
Amen.
My swelling kind of went down a bit, but you can see it a bit. That's why I have makeup on. So that's literally how I've been doing. Jolo wise, hey guys, it's fine, it's okay.
You're not saying anything.
Yeah, I'm like smiling, but like, you know, like, smile. You know,
that's what she does when something's not as good as it was or something. Yes. If she's not happy about a state, she says a lot about it, but nothing at the same time. Yes. Absolutely, even when thingy, schools were still open, she'd say, yo, course this, course that, but no details.
No details.
Whatsoever.
Oh, guys, I cried yesterday because of course, guys. Oh, guys, oh my God.
But aren't you in recess?
Oh my God. Like, that self-marking thing.
Oh, snap.
So, so I marked, like, two of my scripts and I called it quits. I'll mark the other two today. So I was like, let me divide the tears.
Nah.
Because, like, at some point, I think I just started giving myself zeros because I was like, I can't look at my answers.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Because
I was looking at the memo, I was like, yeah.
No, bro, you gotta go back in there.
So I'm very man, bupilo guys. Anyways, let's lighter note.
Goodness gracious. Let's see. Oh, it is not a lighter note. Now, let me not even deceive you. Let me not deceive you. Sheesh. I think I'm back to, oh my God. I feel like in the past few months, I took three steps forward and 10 steps back when it comes to my mental and emotional health. Because Ibiza, you know what I'm saying? Yes. I was journaling. Ibiza. Oh, I circle. I think it's because I stopped journaling. Spiritually, though, I'm doing much better.
That's beautiful,
I think.
Yeah.
I started a Bible plan with Women of the Word this week, and the Bible plan was titled Returning to Intimacy.
Oh, nice.
So getting back into that secret place with God, if you've retreated, if for whatever reason you've distanced yourself from God, that Bible plan was the first step to returning to that secret place with God. And so we've been waking up 6:30, Women of the Word. If you know, you know.
Where was my invite to this Bible plan?
You know about Women of the Word. Please, nah. Let's not argue here on this
one. She's like, don't like brand new.
Please. Let's not do that. So we've been waking up at 6:30 every day, reading the devotional, reading scripture, praying together, praying for each other. And it's really set the pace for what I want. Well, it set the pace for me being intentional about my relationship with God, you know. Acknowledging him in every moment of every day. I'm, you know, that's where I'm at. And then, oh, goodness gracious. And then relationship-wise, well, love life-wise, there isn't one anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. You guys are acting shocked as if
we didn't have this on camera. No, we spoke about this, like, downstairs. Yeah, our like relationships, 5 minutes ago. But I didn't translate what you said as, like, done.
Oh, done.
I thought it was just, like, oh, inching closer to. I didn't know it was, like, done, done.
It like, was, like, quits, over.
Yeah.
Done, done. It shocked me.
I thought it was
me.
Just a thought. Like, I was just, oh, yeah, I'm thinking of buying a car. I didn't know that it was now in your garage.
Yeah, yeah. No. The garage, the electric door has now shut.
Oh,
it has barked, yeah. And if I'm being quite honest with myself, that has destabilized me a lot because that person was a massive part of my life.
I can imagine, yeah.
We lived literally 3 minutes away from each other. Wow. Saw him every single day, if not every other day. Spent significant amounts of time with each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I still, you know, deeply care for him. It's just, it has to do with what we spoke about last week.
Yeah.
The feasibility of it all in this season and how I am moving into a part of my ministry where that's not going to fly anymore. You know,
I get that. Can I just applaud you for that? Because, I mean, how many of us are making such, like, decisions, the decisions that we know we have to make? You know, like, not everyone is doing that. So I would really applaud you for that because...
Okay, you I'll take guys, your applause. Thank you.
But it's so hard.
Yeah, like... I think we don't speak enough about how heartbreaking it is to lay down your life completely.
Yeah.
Because if I had things my way, we'd elope. You know what I'm saying? We'd go and live our surface level religious lives on a farm somewhere, and I get to run away from, you know, all the responsibilities of being Christian and being a Christian on a public platform.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do, but I've got to sacrifice my will.
I get that.
And I'm not happy about it at all, trust and believe.
That has me thinking about a lot. Yeah.
Okay. See, I told you guys where I would put this thing. But it's fine. Let's lift it back
guys.
Up.
Yeah, I'm like, now I'm just like, my mind is just gone on a tangent.
Yeah, it's like, am I doing enough like sacrifices?
Yeah.
Or am I holding?
Am
I holding on to things that God is like, these aren't for you? But I'm like, okay, I want it my way.
Yeah.
You know? Ooh. So, yeah.
And if I'm being honest, like, even having made these sacrifices, the sacrifice of my love life, the sacrifice of certain parts of my lifestyle, it's not from a place of complete belief.
Mm.
I've been, you know, battling with unbelief for a very long time. And so these sacrifices are I wouldn't say my attempt, but like, it's me meeting God halfway type.
I get that.
Even though for the life of me, if I'm being very honest, I can't see anybody better for me than him, honestly.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
That man loved me. He adored me. And so I can't envision anything better. And that's a function, well, that's an effect of unbelief.
Yeah.
That I don't believe in the season God has anything better for me. I don't believe, even in my career and in my personal life, that it could get better than this. And perhaps that's where intimacy comes in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Increased intimacy and continuing my relationship with God in the secret place, that I will begin to believe
exactly
those things.
Exactly. Because but then just as you were saying, just now you're talking about how you don't see anyone else and whatever.
Yeah.
But then I just think that's the beauty of God's word, because you do know the scripture that says exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. Mm. So even the thoughts you have like, oh, this is the perfect, I feel like this is the perfect person.
Yeah.
God is like, your thoughts are here. God is like,
right?
You know? Yeah,
and I think that's where faith comes in, because faith is, you know, moving where sight fails us.
Exactly.
Moving where your own imagination fails you.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm walking in right now. Although my mind can't even fathom anything greater, because God is God.
Yes.
I'm still there.
Yes, yes. Oh, that's beautiful.
And that's very for beautiful. Me, that shows like a big level of trust, you know? You may not believe,
yeah,
but you trust.
And surrender as well.
That's
yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, okay, we can move on.
Clap for yourself. Okay, I guess.
Yes.
Oh my God, guys, that love update. I'm like, oh my God, this is how the episode is starting.
Yeah.
By the end of this episode, I'm like sitting with so much regret for this makeup right now. I'm just like, oh my God, I might end up bawling.
Yeah, is your makeup gonna make it through?
But like on a lighter note, we're going to girl talk.
Our girl chat topic.
And today's girl chat topic is none other than skincare.
Of course. Oh, like,
yeah, because please.
Please,
we're like, this podcast episode is catered to our lovely guest. So, yes. Come give us
her expertise. This is your area of expertise.
Okay, girls. Okay. Ask me. What do you want to know?
Where do we start? What are your skincare go tos? Like your holy grails. The first things that you would recommend when somebody asks you, like,
I want to try this
or whatever.
Like they want to get into skincare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the first thing, regardless if you're black, white, pink, green, blue, or brown, is sunscreen. Like
That is literally on my
Put
list.
Put them on.
That is on my list.
Oh my goodness.
Guys, sunscreen will change your life.
Like, and you know what I recently found out about sunscreen? Sorry to cut you off.
I was so shocked that you have to
wear it every day, no matter what.
Yes.
Whether you're going outside, whether it's raining or cloudy.
Yeah.
Because the light from your phone and your TV and your laptop is blue light, and it can damage your skin and cause
skin. Exactly.
and cause premature aging.
Yes,
was I not shocked? Because I only used to wear sunscreen when the sun is out.
Like, I worried like every day, because especially as a content creator, look these lights.
Yeah,
I get that.
You know,
yes.
I worried every day, and once I started, guys, wearing sunscreen, I will never go back.
Same.
Like, that is an expense I'm willing to expense, but I'm so angry at this scam and TikTok. You know that orange sunscreen?
The Dermopal.
Bruh, that sunscreen used to be 80 rands. I went
How
and
much
I bought
it now?
Yesterday.
How much
it
is
was
it?
Like 120 something.
Oh, hectic.
And I was like, a 40 rand
this
increase.
This is why we gatekeep as influencers.
Please.
I was just shouting.
No. I think, if it wasn't that my life depended on that sunscreen, I would boycott it so that they can take back the price to its original place. Because why? What's the reason?
I get that, guys. Skincare is so expensive, but then it's so worth it. Like, for me, sunscreen is the one thing. I feel like if you're not putting sunscreen, just forget your entire routine, the serums, everything. Don't even wash your face at this point if you're not using sunscreen. Just let it go. So for me, sunscreen is the first thing. Also because I think a lot of people, this side of life, like Southern Africa and stuff, it's very hot, guys. So a lot of people are dealing with hyperpigmentation and stuff like that. And what people don't know is that if you're not using sunscreen, your dark marks actually get darker and they get more permanent, which is dribbling me, permanent, when you're not using sunscreen. So if you're using something like the Nivea, I swear by this, you guys already know, the Nivea Luminous 630 Post Acne Dark Mark Serum.
Ambassador level.
And you're not using sunscreen, like, just forget about it. So sunscreen is the number one thing for me.
Okay. I think we all agree.
Like, that's like a round of like, please get sunscreen, guys. Gents, please use sunscreen. Because like, my man has like a whole skincare routine, but it doesn't have sunscreen. I'm like, that's why your skincare routines, you say that, no, they only work a month, and then all of a sudden your skin goes bad. It's because when you're doing all those things, you're cleansing, all that, you're removing a layer of your skin, and you're expecting the sun not to affect you.
Yeah.
Ah, please.
Like,
please, guys, use sunscreen. Okay, for me, I was like, I read a few things.
Okay.
A few things that I swear on. Where's this list? Which are? Yeah, I was like, less is more.
Okay,
like with skincare.
I love that. Yes.
Like, less is more. Because I noticed, like, guys, some content creators do routines for like clicks and so that the video is longer. So I don't even think they actually have like 10 step routines or
I get
15 that 10 step skincare like, routines.
Well, like, once upon a time eye. I did. So I would say, once upon girl, a time I did.
Girl, so. Girl. You were there with everything. Anymore. We were there yes. with everything. I'm 100% for less is more. I think for me, my go to are literally five things. It's your cleanser, your toner, your serum, your sunscreen and your moisturizer. Okay. Those are like for me the most important things. Everything else that you have, you do it like, you know those days when you're just like, I want a mask today.
Yeah.
You know those days when you're just like, I want this, you know, like those things above and beyond, but less is more. Because sometimes what you're doing is just repetitive or it actually can cause damage because now you have too much product on your skin. So my first thing was less is more. And then secondly, I said, don't self-diagnose. Don't look at social media and TikTok.
I am so guilty of doing that.
And be like, I'm suffering. This is this type of pimple.
Yeah.
This is this. I have hyperpigmentation. I have this. Yeah. I have that. I have dry skin. I have combination skin. True. I have this skin. Do not do that because that may not be the reality of your skin. Your skin may be oily, not because it's naturally oily. Maybe it's because of what you've been using.
Yes.
And that's why your skin, or what you've been eating as well. You know, there's so many factors. So don't self-diagnose. If your skin is breaking out and you're truly suffering from something, just go and see a dermatologist.
Yeah.
Don't self-diagnose. That was my second thing. Yeah. Oh, and then the last one was good sunscreen can go a long way.
Which sunscreen would you recommend?
That one, that 124 one that I've
used. Nivea or that?
No.
Oh, the Derm Opal.
The Derm Opal. Yeah. It's the only one I've used and it's worked so well for me. But it depends also on your skin condition because I know my friend has eczema, so they recommend like SPF 50.
Yeah,
and you know, and Demo Pro mostly comes in SPF 30, but I saw they have an SPF 50 option. But I just know
you know what works for you, and it's like if it's not broken, let's it's not just, try and fix
let me not fix it. Yeah.
I get that.
Okay, my sunscreen I used to use Eucerin, sunscreen, the 50 SPF. And then recently I've been using medical grade skincare. So medical grade face wash, medical grade moisturizer, serum.
Oh, you rich.
No, please, please.
Like
no, actually, I've just been working with an aesthetics clinic.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So I've been speaking to a dermal esthetician and she's the one who, we did a skin analysis.
Okay.
Where she put me in front of this technology that I scans your skin. And it broke down what is wrong about your, what is wrong with your skin from, you know, every layer. So we found out that I have dermal pigmentation, which is hyperpigmentation from underneath the skin. It also sees if you have bacteria, how much of the natural bacteria you have on your face, whether you have sun damage, whether you're dehydrated. That thing shows you how much water you be drinking.
Ooh,
and
I love that.
It exposed me because I do not be drinking water. I be drinking Red Bull. So
hectic.
Yeah, a lot of Red Bull. So, yes. So I went to the dermal esthetician. We did that skin analysis, and then she gave me products that would be best for my skin. So most of them are from Biome Renew.
Okay.
Actually, shameless plug. Yes, if you want to see a dermal esthetician, you're going to go over to Skin Restoration Clinic, and you're going to use my code, KAYA10.
Period.
That's my code. That is my
10% discount on your first consultation.
Yes, go.
You're welcome.
Yes, go. I'm going to go use this code.
Go use the code, guys, because that's what's been helping me with my skin. I had a major breakout before I went to see her, and I think 2 weeks into using that medical grade skincare, my skin improved significantly.
Oh, wow.
Because it's medical grade.
Yes, yes. And can I say you guys have beautiful skin? Like, I'm
thanks,
here, like,
that means a lot coming from you.
I'm like, ooh, okay.
I have makeup
from Clarissa. From Clarissa.
No, but still, like, I feel like good skin isn't even about clear skin, but it's about healthy skin.
Healthy
and you can
skin,
just see when someone has healthy skin. Like, right now, you're glowing. You're glowing
even
you're
with
good.
Makeup.
Like,
yes.
The base. But also, makeup looks better on healthy skin. Like, makeup looks good on healthy skin. So.
That is so true. Like, once my skincare routine, actually, I started having a skincare routine, like, makeup applies better.
And it feels better on your skin.
Yeah, it does feel better. And it does less harm to your skin. Because makeup can also cause harm to your skin.
Yes,
so it also does less harm to your skin. So I've been loving being a skincare girlie. Like, I've been, I'm literally like...
It's nice. Join us, guys. Beautiful life here.
What have I been doing all my life? all my life.
I also part that. Of the skincare girl chat was facts and myths about skincare. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I so what much. I found out also is yeah. that using that facial cleansing brush yes. is not
that
every day.
That was going to be one of my points.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, that was going to be one of my points.
There's a brush. I
yes, that electrical brush.
Like 2016, 2015, oh, yes. the had like that rotating brush and like everybody wanted had it. Like
apparently, not apparently, factually, this is also from the dermal esthetician. Hi, Shaz. Using that brush every day can do more damage than good because yeah. you're disrupting the skin's barrier. It's exactly. only supposed to be used for exfoliation purposes.
Mm, yeah.
And you're only really supposed to exfoliate two to three times a week, depending yes, on your skin yes. type.
Some people even once a week.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Depending on your skin type. So once you interrupt that the skin's barrier, you dehydrate it because you're taking layers off your skin
yes.
and you're forcing your skin to produce excess oil to make up for that dehydration.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that excess oil equals
yes,
pimples,
yes.
more pimples.
Breakouts.
Pimples.
That
pimples.
Is so true. I had
you guys
that
don't remember that ad?
No, I do. What brand was that? Sorry, I was slow, but then I remember.
Was it Pons?
Pimples. I remember.
Gani, I don't know.
Pimples.
You don't remember it? Shame on you. But
shame on her indeed.
I did have that brush yeah. and like I got it when like I was just had like a minor breakout and like this was after high school mm-hmm. and I was panicking and I'm like, okay, all the YouTube girlies are having yeah. are using this brush and everything. Did I not get more inflamed and like the breakout
yeah.
just get worse? So I think that's why I'm actually opposed to physical exfoliation altogether.
Yeah.
So that's your scrubs. Yeah. Brushes, anything that's like vigorously rubbing on your face.
Yeah.
Like I'm just not that person. Not that everyone should be opposed to it, but then it's just not for me.
Yeah, there are mm-hmm. really there are the physical. I know there are face scrubs with really big granules.
Yes.
Let's stay away from those.
Exactly.
The ones that feel like
because they actually end up causing like micro tears on your face. Mm. So.
That's why I need to see like less is more. You want less extra. It's like once in a while. It's a once in a while thing.
I get that.
Like you
I
know, like you know, like you see even that. Brush you were yeah. saying it was not supposed to be used all the time,
yeah,
but it's like a less is more thing, you
yeah.
know. So like your masks, you know, your peels, all these things,
yes,
like
exactly,
like less is more. The less
yeah.
you have in your skincare routine, the better your skin actually.
Yeah.
And even with like these things, I know it's nice, guys. I know it's nice to use the
yes.
brush. It's nice to have the scrub. It's nice
aesthetics
to do
and everything.
Brush. Nice to do like a peel mask
yeah.
and stuff, but like keep it to like a minimum. I also like, you know, another thing I remembered actually, because I remember scolding my mom about this, but I didn't know if it was a fact. So I'm like introducing my mom to skincare.
Okay.
And then this is her. She's like pouring the thing, and then she goes.
Oh,
like you know, like someone
yes.
who wants
like
just,
how our
like,
moms used to put Vaseline on
yes.
our faces.
She just goes like
yeah.
that. I'm like, girl, you're gonna cause yourself to wrinkles. Is that how you've been like putting products on your face all your life?
Yes.
Like
why are you fighting with your face?
Like why?
Have you seen how men wash their faces? Yo,
scary.
Very scary.
Scary. It's like, take it easy,
especially in the shower. One hand.
I'm like, why?
It's like, I
get
Jeez.
That.
This is why they age quicker. Because
yeah.
like, why are you doing that? Because when you're doing that, you are pulling and tugging on your skin. And if you do that frequently, it can cause like wrinkles. Because
yeah.
I used to tell my mom, you see, that's why my face is tightening. It's because
yeah.
like, the angles,
you know,
the angles.
Pat things
like
on.
You pat.
You know?
You know
I
where you
that.
Want. Like, if you don't want to sag here, you know you
yes,
do this.
You're pushing things
yes,
up.
Yes, you're
yeah,
pushing
I
things
that.
Up.
That's
you
a conspiracy, guys.
It's not a conspiracy.
Like, look at Korean
you need
people.
To
Korean people
check
are
that.
Like the goats of skincare.
Yes.
They like...
They
is that not
they
a
even
genetic
use the,
thing?
They even use the... What is it called? It's Dermarola. The thingy
the,
that you...
Okay. I know that thing that you put in the freezer.
The gua sha, yes. And they
called?
Like push
oh,
their
yes,
skin.
Oh, yes. The thing that's
the
like
washa,
curved like
yes.
this and then you pull
and
your
then
skin
pull
like
their
that.
Skin.
Yes.
Ah,
I don't
it
believe in all
blood
of
blood circulation,
exactly.
good blood circulation and also it tightens. Guys, those things... Actually, guys... Koreans are
okay.
in their bag.
Yes.
They are in their
okay,
bag
really
with skincare.
I'm going to go
really
off on a tangent. Like, when I mentioned the way that men wash their face, I feel like men have an unfair advantage when it comes to skin. Because the guy can use the same face cloths for his body, on his face,
the three
on his
one,
niash.
Five in one. Yes. That stuff is
one
scary. That stuff traumatizes me. Like, no.
And they get away with
no.
it. Soft. My brother washes his face with Sunlight, the green bar. And his skin is just perfect.
Guys,
No. I was men before. Like, I was like, literally all I had was, like, a Dove soap.
Okay, at least and it was Vaseline. At least it was yes, love.
That was at the beginning of the year, tell the truth.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. All I had was
I'm not having this conversation. And I'm not too mad at that because like Vaseline is not comedogenic. It doesn't clog your pores, so it's still good for the skin. Dove bar soap is also face spa, so it's good. Like, I'm happy with see, that. I'm not too mad at it.
Guys, I don't know what puberty pimples are. I've never broken out in my life.
That's genes, bro. Like,
my mom has hyperpigmentation. Really? I don't have that. Guys, my skin.
I love that for you.
It's been beautiful.
I'm like a three-time. I call myself a three-time acne-fighting champion because life has nothing.
Tell me about it.
Like, I panic if like there's one pimple. I'm like, oh my god.
One pimple. We wait for at least seven.
Oh my goodness. You know, like, you annoy me because it's like you get a pimple and you're like, oh, I'm breaking out my skin. And I'm like,
because it's weird.
You sound like me the whole year. I've been saying that to her the whole year.
Oh my goodness.
The whole, I say, but don't talk about skincare. Like, no, because you have the unfair advantage.
No.
Let us with the problems.
Listen, but once I started doing skincare, it took my skin from like a 5 out of 10 to like a 10 out of 10.
Okay.
That's like the point I was making. Like, I was like the Dove soap Vaseline girl. Yes. And it worked, you know? My skin wasn't... But when I started skincare, guys, like,
life-changing. I get that.
Guys, I glow.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like,
We can see, bestie.
like, that's
when Kaza mouth blush because when she blushes, her cheeks just...
It's like, oh, so cute.
Like, stop it, I like it.
Guys,
skincare
changed my life.
Okay. I get that. I love that.
One other myth that I think we can close off with is those DIY skincare masks.
Woo. If I start,
the lemon,
if I speak,
the turmeric.
If I start, guys,
I don't know what's wrong with the turmeric.
No, because
the turmeric yogurt.
Let her speak.
Because
let her
when cook. You have your Nivea, when you have your Derm Opal, that stuff is made in labs. It's tested under different conditions. The shelf life is tested. You want to mix a turmeric thing with lemon juice and still use it next week again, and yet like the lemon juice is already going off.
Yeah.
Like. Yo, guys, there's so much science that goes behind. Like, I'm a firm believer that skincare science is so important.
Mm.
Like, guys, let's not even disregard what scientists are doing. Let them do. They know what they're doing. Let them do their job.
Why are you looking guilty?
No, it's just that, like, I've honestly thought those things. I've never.
Yeah.
Because I was never skincare girly. But, like, I honestly thought those things did their job. Like, the white, the plain yogurt.
And turmeric.
And then you just, like, slap it on your face. And keep on moving.
No. Yeah.
You know?
So there's no doubt that they work. Like, for some people, you see some people with, like, very glossy and clear skin, and it is working, but then it's a very risky thing to do. Like, it's very unsafe. It's very risky. Yeah. So you rather just, like...
What is that?
Okay. Yeah, so I think it's a thing of, like, it's a skin-to-skin thing. Like, for some skins...
Also, the turmeric mask was popularized by Indian people.
Yes.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
And Indian people, one, have a skin tolerance higher than anybody else because they get
that.
Their skin tone from, one, the region that they live in.
Okay.
Two, apparently, factually, oranges cause... That deep brown skin tone over the years.
Okay.
Yeah, I was so shocked that it's
like
history
eating
of,
them.
Yes.
Okay.
Their ancestors consumed a lot of oranges because that was, you know, what grew in the area. So they have a tolerance that we don't have skin wise.
Okay.
That's why you look at the Indian girl and you're like, that turmeric thing worked for us, gonna work for me. No. You who lives in the southern hemisphere with these weather conditions, if anything, turmeric dries the skin.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And it can cause post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation on sensitive skin.
Yes.
Because the key ingredient in turmeric that works is called Sabi White, if I'm not mistaken. And that's
I love science. Come with the science, girl. Come
with the facts.
Not us with meats.
And that's the ingredient that's used in medical-grade skincare, that's Sabi White, from the turmeric. The turmeric itself is harsh,
exactly.
As well as lemons, like the lemon juice.
That's
guys.
Exactly what I'm saying.
The white yogurt.
What Garnier uses in their vitamin C range is extract,
yeah,
right, the key ingredient in there. If you use and you put lemon directly on your skin,
you're gonna burn. That's why I'm saying, like, guys, trust scientists.
Yes,
you know, there's this a myth that, like, oh, natural is better, and like, oh, because you think, oh, DIY things, but then, yeah, science is better because it's been tested and, yes, it's been tried and it's
by professionals.
You're not pro Nara Smith making her own sunscreen.
No. Like, I saw sunscreen isn't made in the kitchen or whatever, and, yeah, they're like, "Oh, so they're making in the lab." I said, "Yes,
they were shading Nara."
Yes. I'm like, "Yes, besties," because me isn't.
Nivea is doing like a Nando thing.
She literally said, so our sunscreen ran out.
Oh my word.
And then I decided to
love her loads, but then I drew the line there.
I was like, homemade sunscreen.
I drew a thick line.
People are like, girl, you what you made? You didn't even do it narin. It didn't.
Oh my goodness.
It just fumbled for your skin.
And all the skincare specialists and dermatologists and like cosmetic chemists, yeah, were like so stressed in the comments. Like, yeah, guys, please reacting. Don't do this, yes, at all.
They were reacting. And then like there were people who were like, no, she's just doing it for herself, but they forget she's an influencer, and she does, yeah, influences.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So now you find people on some like homegrown sounds. Like the, yeah, people who influenced milking your own cows and drinking like cow milk from the cow.
Oh, hectic.
Is that an issue?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because like, guys, like there's a lot of like bacteria and stuff. That's why cow is pasteurized, you know?
Yes.
Because like it goes through a process for you to be able to drink it. For like how long you drink it, mm-hmm, and for it not to like kill you.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
When you just go milk a cow, and when you just drink,
I did not know that. Okay, I think that concludes our girl chat segment. We're gonna move into our game.
I love that.
Oh yes, and this is courtesy of Mbo. She chose this game now. So,
oh my god!
What happened?
I didn't make the shot.
Oh, if we got it wrong, we were gonna have to take a mysterious shot.
Yeah. So okay, no, you know what? They whoever loses still has to take it. You just take it after. Okay.
It's
okay.
Not alcoholic. Right?
No.
Like Tabasco.
Yeah. So like, yeah. So we will insert a clip of the loser taking the shot.
Yes.
At the end, or maybe like sometime in the episode. So okay, let's go. So you guys basically have to guess the animal from the fact.
Oh, the loser between Clarissa and I.
Yes.
Oh, that is so hectic.
How else are you gonna do it?
That is so hectic.
This is the perk. This is the perk of preparing the game.
I'm a guest. Be nice. Like, let me win.
No, you're a Jestie. We're like, telling you. We don't have an unfair advantage here. We're all in this together.
Are you ready? Let's see who knows the animal.
You didn't even tell them what the name of the game is.
But I created it myself. Like I said, and I thought, okay, no, I didn't. My little brother did.
Uh-huh.
He loves creating games. So we're playing at home.
Cute.
And he was giving me animal facts. And then I basically had to guess what the animal was from the
facts.
Okay. He literally even created like a whole card game with like 10,000 rules. Guys, hey, I'm playing Game of Thrones and cards. It's crazy. He's so creative.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So the game is guess the animal. Editor,
guess the animal.
Do the right thing.
Yeah. Okay. This animal's heart can weigh up to 2,000 pounds.
An Kaya. Elephant, a whale.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding.
Guys, we must establish some rules here. Let's establish some rules. The reason why I said Kaya is because I thought, like,
to be able to answer,
I must say my name first.
Okay, fine.
Oh, wait.
Fine.
Okay,
let's do
so
it like that.
So she get that point.
And you get one chance. If you get it wrong, the other person gets a guess. And then maybe we can go back to you.
Okay.
Fine, you can have the point, though.
Okay.
Because
she's apparently a guest. This animal can run as fast as a horse.
Can I go?
Yeah. Horse.
I'm guessing a cheetah.
No.
Wait.
As fast as a horse.
Oh, as a horse. Wait, sorry.
As fast as a dog.
No.
I promise I'm not dumb. Wait, as a horse. A horse is not that. Okay, it is fast, but not that fast.
Yes.
I don't know why. You went like as the fastest animal.
No.
It's your turn again.
As a horse. Oh, a horse.
Runs.
It's a trick question.
No. You know, that would have been so smart. That would have been so smart, right? Like, I didn't even think about it.
Trying to come at me,
she's not ready for the trick.
I'm street smart, guys.
Okay.
I'm street smart.
Okay, there's a saying. If you see me outside with the help the
bear. Kaya, yes. the bear.
I don't know that.
It's a grizzly bear.
You see me in the forest fighting with a grizzly bear.
Help the bear. It's literally a grizzly bear.
Clarissa.
It's like bears run.
As fast as a horse.
I would have never thought about it. If she didn't say that song, I would have never thought about it.
So 1-1. Okay. This animal cannot stick its tongue out.
Hey, your brother's putting us under pressure.
You know what I thought this game would be? I thought you'd show us a picture strikes. And then I'm like, that looks like
a no. We need
can't
to know
stick if its tongue out.
Like, just try picture an animal sticking its tongue out, and then which one won't be able to? It's okay. Let me narrow it down.
Wait, I know.
Okay,
can I say yes. A fish?
No, but very close. Very very close.
Okay, go.
So I was about to say this animal typically lives in water, but it's also sometimes it goes out on land.
Yo, a crocodile.
Yes, girl. Yeah.
Oh my word. Okay.
Yes,
girl. Oh, actually, I've never seen a crocodile's tongue.
Like, have you seen it stick its tongue out?
No.
But I've also never seen a fish tongue.
Fair. Mm. Fair.
But they probably sound it.
Do they even use their tongue?
Okay.
Do they have tongues?
I wanted to say that, but I didn't want to, like...
Y'all can drag me. I don't care.
This one, if someone knows this, that's okay. I don't think any of y'all know. I think I need to give secondary hints.
Okay.
But
okay.
This one, I don't want to. I don't know.
Okay, try us.
This animal, right, doesn't have any bones. Instead, their skeleton is made out of cartilage.
Can I go? I will say an animal, right? Not an insect, not a whatever. I'm going to say a snake.
No. Snake have bones.
Do they?
A jellyfish. No, not a jellyfish.
No. No, skeleton made out of...
Cartilage. Wow, I'm so stressed.
Wait.
I'm so stressed.
Like okay, it stays in water.
Okay, it's her turn to answer because I answered.
Okay, stays in water.
Yeah, it's a...
What?
It's a type of fish. Okay, not
a
fish.
A type
like,
of fish.
Okay.
An octopus.
It stays... It's an aquatic animal.
It's not an octopus.
People are normally scared of it.
Stingray. And you said no to...
But we kill it more than it kills us.
No.
A shark?
Yes.
Really?
What?
Yes.
What? No, they had a conversation.
I'm learning so much.
They wanted me to take a shot, and then it came down
we
to
promise,
me.
We promise. That's not the case. What? I'm also shocked. What the heck? I was just guessing. Like, you heard me say stingray.
Yeah.
I was mentioning all the aquatic animals.
It's giving that TikTok challenge where the dad knows all the answers, and then the mom is, like, just guessing. You guys had a conversation.
I'm
Johnny. Now you're here pretending.
Wow,
like,
girls, I didn't know you were so loser.
Shock. I am. I've never lost 30 seconds in my entire life.
Really?
Never lost 30 seconds.
Same. I'm so competitive with that.
I'm very competitive.
Like, I literally
we should have put you guys against each other.
Yeah,
when you come back, we're going to do that.
Yeah, with the 30 seconds, I'm telling you, I want literally. But not on
but
purpose.
It's very competitive,
but by
actually.
Mistake, I swore Khunzi once.
Oh, hectic.
When we're playing 30
I
seconds.
I get it. Because it's
you
that
guys
deep.
Get that passionate about this game.
It's that deep.
I laugh at people like
okay,
you guys.
So I'm going home.
No. I laugh at you guys. What? People like that in the games. So we're like, what are we winning? Nothing. Like, calm down.
My dignity.
My reputation.
Exactly.
Okay, let me give you three more. Okay. This animal cannot look up into the sky.
Yeah.
What?
It doesn't have a neck. Is that what you're saying?
It physically can't look up.
Or it's always looking down.
What? I think this is a known fact, actually.
An animal that can't look in the sky.
Okay, give me something.
Yeah, something else.
Okay, we eat this animal.
Fish. Kaya, fish.
No. Do you know it? Okay. They can't look up. You eat it.
It's your turn to answer.
It bangs, yes, it bangs. Oh, that's what you're thinking.
Wait,
you might know
what?
It.
Wait, okay, you can I go again?
Yes.
Chicken.
No.
That's what I was thinking, but I was like, you know what? I've been answering it wrong too many times.
No.
And it bangs.
Yeah. What else do we eat?
Kaya. Like, is it like an African eating food or like a international?
Okay, I feel like if I give this hint, it's going to like give it away, like completely. So now it just depends who says they name the quickest.
Okay.
This is the hint.
I'm so slow, so I know I'm not even gonna be quick.
ZCC churches cannot eat it. Like people who attend
a pig.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Pigs can't look up.
Yes, they can't look up.
Oh, because have you seen the pig's neck?
What was your answer?
I'm not even a liar.
Chicken.
And the thing is, he was lifting his head. He was like,
and he was so confident, like, oh, I know this one.
Pigs cannot physically look up.
Oh, that makes sense because their necks, like, they don't really have necks like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so they just like
to the never guess
that. So you just stay like,
wow.
I was about to say cow. Yo, I was saying everything that you eat.
I'm like, when can this can a cow look up?
I don't know.
Maybe. Okay. This one, okay, this is so easy. Okay. These are the only animals that this is the only animal that cannot jump.
Yeah. Cannot jump.
Cannot jump.
Oh, goodness.
You're saying these are easy. It makes me feel more dumb. No.
This one is extremely easy. Like,
okay,
this
wait,
animal
so
cannot
fish,
jump.
Because fish swim.
But I've seen a fish.
They jump out of water.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry.
Yes.
A chicken.
What did you say?
A chicken.
That's going to be my answer.
A chicken
for
without a head. That thing can jump.
Chicken is going to be my answer for all of
these. Chicken is getting free promo.
Yo. Shout out Chicken Licking sponsor us.
Okay, FC.
Like
it cannot jump. Think of an animal that.
Oh, wait. A snake.
Girl.
But snakes can jump.
It can.
A snake can jump.
It can.
That's them Limpopo snakes. Yes. Yeah.
Like I'm sure it can. I'm sure it can like jump and bite you. Like a
I'm sorry, Tata.
I'm also shaded as a Limpopian.
Sorry, guys. Sorry, guys. Sorry,
guys. Ooh,
that was so
sorry. Hey, Nina, was like even shading a whole province.
Come for her, guys. It wasn't me.
Don't come for me.
Okay, yes.
I don't know.
This is yours.
I'm judging y'all for not knowing this answer, or at least attempting. I'm gonna just give you the answer. It's an elephant.
I would have thought an elephant.
Do you know that didn't even cross my mind?
Yeah, bruh, like, no, I was not even thinking of like.
Have you, and it can't, guys. Gravity.
Like, you know, it's quizmaster. Your questions are too vague. Like,
no gravity.
We need
bruh.
More details.
Gravity. Guys,
I would have never guessed.
If you guess elephant, comment down below. Because gravity, please.
I would have never.
Okay, is this the last one?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, wait. Okay. This animal has three hearts.
Three hearts. I feel like I know this. Wait, it's a sea animal, right?
Yeah, she said
a starfish.
No.
It's a sea animal.
Yes.
I was about to say octopus, but octopus has more than three hearts. Ne?
Right?
It is an octopus.
It's an octopus.
Who's answering?
She's answering.
It's an octopus.
Yes.
That was her answer. I just stole it.
Yes, they have three hearts.
I was doing the math because like a starfish has five limbs. So 5 - 2 = 3.
Yeah, there was mathematics going on. That's actually hectic.
Wow.
Yeah, octopus has three.
Which animal has three stomachs?
A cow.
I don't know. I was just
Me.
Asking.
Yeah. Wait, like no, but I want to know if I'm right. Does a cow have three stomachs?
Wow. Yes.
Oh wow, guys. Seven hearts.
No, but this
oh,
side
so
has
you're
three.
Lying.
Three of them pump blood through its gills, but additionally, each of its gills have its own.
So I knew
you're octopus, octopi. What's the plural for octopus?
Okay, fine.
Octopi.
I'm sorry, my sources were wrong.
Octopuses. No, octopuses does sound so wrong.
A cow have three stomachs.
Octopi.
Three.
I don't think it
comment
does.
Down below. What
haven't
is
you
the
killed
plural
one
octopus?
Before? I genuinely don't think it does. It has one, right?
I'm trying to find the answer. Where it says three. And, okay, let me ask.
Elephants.
How many stomachs?
It has one. Exactly, yeah, because imagine getting three sets of mohodu from, like, one cow. That is crazy. That's actually so insane.
How does that cross your mind,
because I'm thinking, we've killed cows before, guys. We know this.
The first thing that comes to mind is mohodu.
It's giving sick, girl. I know this stuff, guys. I've never slaughtered a cow. Okay, so that's it for the game. I hope you guys had fun.
I love you taking the shot.
Oh my goodness. Ooh. Oh my words. Ooh. I hate it here.
I'm actually gonna go home.
You're not. You're locking it in. For her. Like some.
That be is nice.
Let's go.
Be nice is what I'm saying.
Like a
be
mystery nice. Shot for her. She'll take it at the end be of the nice. Episode.
Be okay. nice.
So now
we're moving into our long topic. You can read it here. Your phone is on.
Oh, okay. So the long topic is childhood traumas. So here we're going to be discussing, does how you were raised play a factor in how you make decisions now?
Giving therapy. Like
what time that she's reading?
Like, we were just giggling about mohodu and now it's about me. We told you the theme
of the podcast.
So where is your father?
Yes.
Actually.
Did you go fetch milk and didn't come
that
back?
That is hectic. Mm? That is actually insane. But your cars, let's rock it.
Yeah, like what has childhood trauma? What is like your childhood trauma? What has it done to you? How does it affect your decision making? What type of relationships do you get into because of it? And
it's about that time.
Okay.
Sheesh. Okay, I'll begin. I think we had this conversation. I had this conversation a week ago
in a car
on the way home. After a party, at 2 a.m.
And we're talking about our childhood traumas.
And we're talking about, I think the conversation began with us both realizing that we have this hyperfixation on love.
Okay.
Right? And how we stay in relationships for longer than we should because we're so, not invested, but determined to make the thing work.
Yeah.
Because love is what we believe in, not necessarily anything surrounding love. We gotta make it work, and we gotta hit this 1 year mark, and we gotta hit this 2 year mark. And I came to the stop laughing, throwing me off. And I think I realized that came from not witnessing any successful relationships at all. So it sort of wired my brain to want to make a relationship successful no matter what, which I think is something that a lot of Black South African women experience, because the whole Bogoto chat is what comes to mind. Like, you have to stick it through.
Oh, okay, the relationship. Like
Megan Selling. Yes, Megan Selling type thing, which we witnessed our mothers do, our grandmothers do, our great-grandmothers stay in marriages for the sake of the kids or so on and so forth. And now I think we're repeating those patterns in our own love lives where we have to see it through, even though we're in our 20s. We don't need to.
Yeah.
And that's actually very different from what I believed a year ago, because I remember I was on Tato's podcast a year ago and I was talking about sticking it through. I was very adamant. I was like, you know, our generation, the issue with our generation is that we don't stick it through and that we break up with each other for like little issues. And then.
Yeah, it's not a laughing matter, but you know.
And then
I got into a relationship where I was like, I actually can't stick this thing through.
Yeah.
You know, you've traumatized me. I'm not staying here. Yeah. And that's part of the pressure that, you know, our generation has put on themselves as well. Mm. Just got to seek it through, my boy. When you really don't. That's not to say that any little inconvenience you leave a relationship. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. I think there are valid, tangible reasons for leaving a relationship. Yeah. Not because the relationship doesn't serve you. You see that one? I will never agree with anyone who says, I left the relationship because it was no longer serving me.
Shut it, Shanice.
I get that.
You're selfish. You're selfish. Because why are you in a relationship for it to serve you?
Yeah.
You know?
I get that. Yeah.
But yeah. That's my two cents. It's not 2 cents in Jesus' name. That was $1 trillion.
That was a census.
Yeah.
Okay.
For me, I feel like I realized as I was sitting on this couch, because I was like, actually, what childhood trauma stands out? Because I have multiple. So I was like, which one?
Weird flex, but okay.
let me open the childhood trauma
of the day. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. Because, like, I relate to the, like, childhood trauma of, like, staying in relationships because okay. I've never seen a success. So I'm like, okay. Yeah, no. Let me look for another one. I feel like my childhood trauma was being that, you know, the trauma of being a firstborn daughter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I'm a last born, so I don't know. But then my sister and I have, my oldest sister and I have had that conversation, so I can empathize.
Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, the trauma of, like, the firstborn, like, the firstborn daughter syndrome. Like, you're literally born to be the caretaker of your younger siblings, the therapist of your parents.
Yes, I get that.
So you grow up not really having a childhood or being, like, a child, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, like, number one, you're responsible for your parents, especially as a black child. Your parents make your siblings your responsibility, and then they proceed to then make you their counselor, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's worse with divorced parents because now you are like, I have to take, your dad did this chat from my mom, and then I have to take, my mom did this chat from my dad, you know?
Yeah.
So... Oh, that was, like, very, 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 very traumatic, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, I felt like my childhood was taken away from me. And it also caused me to have a rift in my... I don't have proper sibling relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, like, my relationships with my siblings cannot... It'll take time for it to be, like, a sister-brother, sister-sister relationship. Because, like, I sit in the role of mom, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes. So it really impacted my relationship with my siblings. And it also kind of, like, made me have, like, a resentment for... I remember when my little brother... when my mom was pregnant with my little brother. I remember, I was so mad. I was so angry because I was like, you're having another child for me to take care of.
Mm.
You know? Sweet. So, like, I couldn't love my siblings because they were my responsibility, which they are not supposed to, not supposed to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And because of now living that life and that being my reality, the relationships I tend to be in, I tend to take on, I'm bossy.
Mm,
you know,
okay.
I tend to be bossy. I'm very authoritative and stuff like that. And
hyper independent.
You know, I have to do things myself, and it's very difficult for me to be vulnerable.
Mm,
you know, especially like in romantic relationships, it's so hard. And I feel like that's my current relationship now. That's like what's causing a rift in our relationship because like I'm struggling to be vulnerable, you know, because I have to have shit together.
Mm. I get you, I get that.
So, yeah.
No,
so.
I fully relate to that, hey?
Yeah.
You're especially also the hyper. Yeah, firstborn daughter.
Are your parents divorced or your parents all together?
Currently divorced.
Okay, and your parents are also divorced.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm.
Yeah.
Very similar. Very similar. We have something in common.
Yeah.
Too much.
But like, you see, the product of it is so different. We opposites.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
I'm a hard nigga.
Which goes to show, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Which goes to show, like, a lot of people's life experiences are so unique.
Yes.
Like, you know? You're so unique. But, sorry, was I interrupting you? Were you going to say something? Okay. So for me, it's very interesting hearing you talk about that because I'm a last born and my sister's the oldest, and for the longest time we didn't have a relationship because of that. Like, I didn't see her as my sister because I have two sisters. So the younger, I'm the last born, but I have two sisters. So the middle sister felt like my sister, and my older sister felt like a second mom. And I didn't like that. She was just like, I literally tell my friends, like, oh, I hate her, I don't like her. Like, there was just no relationship. Only after like years, I think, when I was like 18, did we start to, like, you know, somewhat get close. So it's very interesting hearing it from older sister perspective. But childhood trauma for me, I would say yes, it is there in relationships, which we will unpack. And you spoke about something towards the end, hyper independence as well. I think for me, and more so, and also for me, I think avoidance of conflict, but it's something which I have successfully been working on, and I'm really not that girl anymore. Like, don't try me. But like before,
another Christian girl who's not the one.
Not the one, the two, or the three.
I love this couch.
Honestly, like, for me, keeping it a buck, right? My parents are still together, mm-hmm. In the most toxic relationship I've ever witnessed in my entire life. Like, for me, for the longest time, my wish has been, it authentic, still is, that they divorce.
I had that wish right before my parents divorced.
And it came true.
Same. Yes.
God, look at me.
Yes. No, I literally told them.
Yeah.
And this was like a 10-year-old.
Yes.
And I was like, please,
wow,
end it. Because like we suffered.
At a sudden age, yeah.
Oh my God.
That is crazy.
And it was so crazy. It's in like what I was going to talk about in memberships. Oh, like wow. The lessons I learned from my parents.
That is so amazing.
Well, it's but not like, amazing, but like.
Yeah, no, but then like at in hindsight, it kind of is like it's a bittersweet thing because sometimes leaving is good, you know? It got so bad to a point where like divorce stories excite me. Like you can see right now, like, oh my goodness, what? Because I remember even when we traveled with YouTube and I met like one of the guys on the crew, he was telling me that he's divorced. And I'm like, you're divorced? And everybody's like, what is that? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I get you. Like, I understand because like where I was coming from was just a very toxic worst 10 years of my life. So I feel like for me, avoidance of conflict stem from, oh yeah, I was explaining my situation. Mm-hmm. So my parents are still together. My mom is the sweetest person ever. She has a very kind heart. I feel like she's who I was for most of my life. A very quiet, very, you know. Whereas her husband is someone who's very, he is a bully to keep it a buck. And I feel like, she has just bigazzled for so long, and he is also abusive. He's an alcoholic, and coming from that household where, if you know he gets violent or he gets very loose with his tongue, and having my mom be like, okay, no, don't say anything, and now it's like, okay, don't poke the bear. Like if you see this person is coming home, make sure like is everything okay. And I was just raised like all my life all I knew was walking on eggshells, right? So every time I was around like big personalities, I would just shrink. You know, something I did not ever want to bring up. Actually, let me not. let me not, right? But then, okay, I want to say in a perfect way. But then big personalities doesn't have to be a bad thing. Yeah. So I will bring it up. So like, let's say, for example, when I went on a trip with Tato and crew, right? For me, it was just a thing of like, I can't even watch those episodes back because that is not me. Like, I feel like that entire trip, I did not have a good time solely because I was walking on eggshells. Like I'd never
you
been
were
around
very quiet,
so
yeah.
many. And I'm not quiet. Like, I'm so talkative. Like when I was in primary school, my only detention in high school was for noise making. Like, I'm a yapper.
Who would have guessed? When you said you were quiet, I was like so shook because like this is my first time meeting you.
Yes.
And like, we literally didn't know each other and we're unpacking things in the kitchen.
Exactly.
Yeah, we had our own mini podcast
down there. And I'm a yapper. I was very in my comfort zone. Like, that is me. But then that entire trip, I was just like in a shell. I was just like, you know, even sometimes when the cameras would come up, I'd like really force myself where I could see like, okay, this conversation, I'm just trying to force myself to speak, but then I'm just not there, you know, because I was just brought up to walk on eggshells around people. That's like my entire life. And then moving to South Africa, COVID happened and I had to live with relatives and it was the same model once again. And I think this time it was even 10 times worse, where the woman of the house is very much like, no, make sure, okay, have the tray, go and give him this. And then if my uncle would be like, oh, why did you bring me cold water? Whatever, you're so silly. And then that's where I'm now like panicking, like, okay, I have to go do this. And by the time of the recording, I had just come out of that household. So I feel like I was just broken to a point where I couldn't, I just couldn't be at peace. Like, I just couldn't calm down. Like, I just couldn't and just be. So I feel like a lot of the times whenever I could see, like, conflict starting to happen, which did happen that time, which did happen even outside of that trip, like, even just in my day-to-day life, whenever I see this conflict, I just shut down. Whenever someone raises their voice at me, I just shut down. Whenever I can see that, okay, I have ruffled Kaya's feathers just like by saying, they say I just mentioned something and I see your energy just change a little bit, I'm like, okay, no, now I need to make
be
sure
hyper apologetic,
okay. Instead of just being like, oh, did I offend you, what did I say, let me apologize, and instead of just confronting it head on. So that's how I was, and I guess that's a childhood trauma that I had. Well, still, I still have. I'm unlearning it. I'm in the process of unlearning it.
I think we all are.
Yeah. Yes, yes, that's true. Brings
to the next thing, like unlearning childhood trauma. There's this like thing. I don't know if it's a saying I've heard or is it just a realization I made for myself. I was like, when you start talking about like your traumas and what you've gone through, you'll realize that you are not unique.
Yeah.
Like, you are not unique. Like, most of the things, if not everything that you're going through, someone else is going through it.
Yeah.
And that's why speaking about what you're going through is so important, yeah, exactly. You know? Because number one, you see someone who's gone through it and has managed to move past it.
Yeah.
And two, it also shows you how what makes us different is how we react to those environments.
Yes, yeah. True.
You know, you said you were, like, ready to tussle, and then, like, her and I are like,
yes, yes. Avoid it.
I do not want. But then I snapped. I got to a point where I snapped, and then I was very much conflict ready.
Mm-hmm. I think
going into varsity, I was so conflict ready, guys. I think I almost got into fights like every other day. Yeah. In my first year, I was so conflict ready. Yeah. I was even going to fetch people. I was marching.
Yeah.
People in varsity is crazy.
It was COVID. You can't leave the res. You are learning online at res. I'm telling you, everybody was in everybody's business. It was like a boarding school, basically. Oh, you know? So it was a lot, and I felt like maybe it was like the anger from like suppressing my emotions and not dealing with conflict.
If you bottle something up at some point, it's gonna know. Exactly.
Mm. So now like the process of like unlearning this, like, what are you doing? How is the journey?
For me, definitely therapy. Like, I'm a huge advocate for therapy and also leaning on God, because I feel like I'm someone who, as I believe in therapy so much. Like, this is not sponsored, but I believe in therapy so much. And coming from that place of like walking on eggshells, it's so suffocating. Like, it's not nice to feel small. Yeah. It's not nice to, and people see that. Like, people see someone, people can tell that, oh, this one, if I say anything, oh, this one, if I do anything,
she's gonna take it.
And they'll take advantage of you. And I feel like, shame, I've really worked on it. Sorry, guys, I'm just thinking about it. That's why I'm like, I really changed, because let me tell you something, I am not that girl anymore. And when I say that, I don't mean in a way like, oh, I'm conflict ready. No. Let's have an open, honest conversation.
Yeah.
Why did you say the things you said? I did not like them. Please don't talk to me like that. If you can't respect that, then get out of my space. Yeah. Done. It doesn't mean we have to tussle, we have to fight. No. I think I've just reached a point where I will not be silent. I will not be violent, but I will not be silent. Because I think a lot of the times people say, no, just be the bigger person, whatever. But being the bigger person doesn't entail being quiet.
Yes. I feel like it's so hard. Like, it's genuinely so hard, like, unlearning a lot of things. And for me, because of like most of my trauma stem from my parents, love them to bits, but they traumatized me. So it's been so hard, but God has done his thing. But I'm thinking of therapy. I remember when I was in my lonely season, like, I don't know, therapy has been in my heart, you know. I just don't, like, I've never been, I don't know anyone who's gone, like, I don't know. I genuinely feel like God has like worked so much. And I feel like for me, the first step was like forgiving. You know, like learning how to like forgive
actually
my parents, you know, for like the environment. Like, that's how I can openly talk about like what they've done, what they're doing. You know, it's because like I've forgiven them, you know.
You're a better woman than me. Forgiveness,
bruh.
Shane, that's my biggest
it's not me, like, it literally isn't me. Because like, it's not me, it's God. Because I can't forgive like what they've done to me, what I've gone through, I cannot forgive. But God has allowed me to, like, he allowed me
that's
to, like,
beautiful.
I think
I wish I could.
It was a prayer, bruh. I was praying in like, I prayed in tongues twice in my life.
Yes.
First time when I first prayed in tongues, second time when I was praying about forgiveness. Like, I didn't know what it was that was eating me, but it was forgiveness. And I was just like, Yeah. So it's God. I came out of that prayer and I'd forgiven. And I was So I feel like the biggest thing was forgiveness. And that's how I'm able to now like try and foster relationships with them.
You know? You're at a place where I don't think I could ever be.
But you will arrive. You will arrive. With God, you will arrive. But you know what is the biggest lesson I needed to learn is that just because I've changed and I've forgiven, it doesn't mean they've changed.
Yeah.
I feel like that is like a very tough lesson to learn. Because like, yes, I'm opening that door to try and like foster a relationship, but like they're still the same people. So it's like learning how to forgive who you are now.
Yes.
Not just who you were.
Yes.
Who you are now, you know?
And sorry, yeah, continue.
It's hard.
I get that. And it's so funny because I once listened to a sermon on forgiveness. Well, it was actually live. A sermon on forgiveness. And it was this very old man. And he was just talking about what he's learned over, you know, his lifetime. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, forgiveness is something you do on your own, but reconciliation takes two people. And forgiveness does not equal reconciliation. Mm. So with forgiveness, it's about, okay, I know I have any negative feelings towards the situation, towards this person, right? And then reconciliation takes accountability from the other party. So for me right now, I'm not even thinking about fostering relationships, reconciliation.
Yeah.
I'm still at first step because I can't even let go of like the negative feelings I have towards my father, towards my uncle. Like, it's just like...
It's a lot.
I don't know about all that.
But which is so fair, you know. I feel like I think for it also depends on like your nature.
Yeah,
you know, like I'm just very I have a forgiving name. No one gift God has given me. Me, I'll forgive. Like we'll
wish
fight.
I was you.
But we'll fight now.
Yeah.
Two minutes later, I have forgiven. me. I can't.
Wait, are you a last one?
No, I'm firstborn daughter, so I have eight siblings.
Firstborn. Okay,
and then I'm number five.
But the first daughter.
Yes.
Okay, I see.
I'm number six.
Yo, guys, I'm sorry. Forgiveness is just like, I don't know who that girl is.
It's not your forte.
I've never met her before. Yeah.
Like, the thing is, honestly, with my forgiveness thing, I needed to learn not to forget.
Yeah.
Guys, don't forget. Like, this thing, forgive and forget, it's the people who hurt you. They're trying to gaslight you into hurting you again. Sure. Forgive someone, but then, like in a sense, oh, it's so funny. I was the one who was saying forgive and forget, like, a few weeks ago. No. Forgive someone, but, like, just... I know God wants us to forget, but when you must remember, because like if you forgive,
so why are you preaching something opposite to what God wants?
Because there's a verse that says
love keeps no record of
yes, it does. So God wants you to forget, but when it's a thing of like I've forgiven you, but like you're setting boundaries.
Like, don't disregard a pattern.
They're setting the boundary thing. Because, like, for me, my problem is I forgive people and then I forget.
Yes.
And in forgetting, I mean, like, I allow the hurt to carry on, you know, because I've not set boundaries.
Yeah.
I've not said I've forgiven you, but I will not allow you to do this again, you know? So I think that's what it is. But, hey, guys, it's so hard. Like, childhood trauma is so hard. Like, I'm still childhood trauma.
I get that.
I'm still accumulating trauma.
Yeah. I get that. No, I get it so much.
I'm still childhood trauma.
With unlearning, you said something about boundaries, and I feel like for me, that's like word of the day.
Yeah.
Like, boundaries for me are now such a huge thing. Yeah. Like, if I'm going to say no, I'm going to say no, and I mean no. Yeah. You know, whereas, like, if you'd met me, like, 2 years ago, I was not that person. Same, you know, like, I was just saying yes. I feel like even a year ago, it was like, you know, a little bit like here and there. Now it's like, no, like absolutely not. Yeah. Because I feel like boundaries, like getting to set boundaries for yourself, it helps you navigate life better. Especially like, let's say with the avoidance thing, right? Mm-hmm. Because when it comes to conflict avoidance, you're in a situation and you're saying like, okay, no, we're not going to talk about this and whatever. But then if you think of it, this person actually... Like what we're talking about, this person violated a boundary. Like you need to let them know, because you can't also expect people to stop doing something that you haven't told them to stop doing. You get me? So,
well, you Kaya, are you unlearning traumas?
I definitely am, because it took a long time for me to come out of conflict ready, right? And conflict and confrontation are two different things. I think I've made clear that confrontation for me, I run, right? And confrontation.
It's interesting. So confrontation, you run. Conflict. conflict you run to.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, because I think situations where I avoid confrontation is a situation where I genuinely cared about you, or I cared about our relationship and that fell apart. Yes. I don't confront that. I let it go. Situations where I don't really care about you and you've offended me or you've said something crazy, we're rocking. Do you know what I'm saying? And that took a very long time to get out of. I'm no longer physically violent, praise God. And so not even transitioning out of that, but learning to do things in a more healthy manner has become so difficult, because in moments where I feel like I want to, you know what I'm saying, physically attack the person, I have, you know, resorted to becoming passive aggressive, which is not a good thing either. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? In attempt to suppress active aggression, I become passively aggressive.
Okay.
And so, one, thank God I've, you know, noticed it. I've realized it. But it's not enough to do so. I think letting go of aggression altogether is where I need to be. I see. That is a not a function, but like an arm of unforgiveness.
Okay.
Because I'm struggling to forgive. That's why there's still aggression there in the first place.
I get you.
Right? And what's been helping me with unforgiveness lately is the Holy Spirit badgering in my heart that I'm not the one who dictates whether somebody's deserving of forgiveness or not.
Yes.
Essentially, the question that he's been asking me, who are you not to forgive?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's convicted me for the past few months. It's like, you're the last person to sit with unforgiveness in your heart after all I've forgiven you for.
Exactly.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because God knows, man, what he's forgiven me for.
Yes, yes.
So I think coming from a place of humility, I think being unforgiving is proud.
Yeah.
To say that, how dare you do this to me?
Yes, I get
and
that.
I'm not going to let it go because you must be punished, even if I punish you subconsciously. You know, I can't punish you actively, but even if in my intentions, in my thoughts, in my feelings towards you, I'm punishing you, that is you being proud. And I'm willing to admit that for a very long time, when it comes to certain individuals in my life, I've been proud.
I get that.
About, you know, not reconciling, but forgiving.
Okay. Yeah. So I agree with you, right? Yeah. I agree with everything you've said. However, for me, right, I feel like that was my stance for the longest time.
Yeah.
But then more so, not even like that, but then more in a way of feeling guilty for not forgiving. Because I'm like, oh, the Bible says I have to forgive and whatever, whatever. And like, I grew up around all these women, my mom, my aunties. Actually, my mom was, you know what, not really my mom, but my aunt, more specifically, English.
You got it.
My aunt would always be like, no, the Bible says.
Yeah.
And like, now it was just a guilt thing where I'm like telling myself, like trying to lie to myself, like, yes, I have forgiven. But then something I learned this year, because I even have a Christian therapist. Mm-hmm. He gave me the scripture about yielding your thoughts to God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you think God wants the lies? Like, if you haven't forgiven, go to him straight and be like, so I just had the honest conversation. I said, hey, God, you have seen me from when I was a little girl. You saw all the things I witnessed, all the things I had to endure, all the things I went through, all the things I had to watch my mom, my aunt go through.
Yeah.
And at a point where I see your word. I hear you. You're saying I should forgive. I've done these things. But at the same time, I'm just a girl. And I'm just asking you, coming to you, daughter to a father, and asking you, God, to also help me with this journey and extend some grace. Because God knows your heart. I think it's also about heart posture, where you don't really need to force yourself into forgiveness, right?
Yes.
Like, allow yourself to feel hurt because you were hurt. Allow yourself, like, all those feelings. I'm not saying you were saying that the feelings aren't bad. I'm just talking in general, that all your feelings are valid when you're hurt and stuff like that. Just in case anyone is reaching that point where it's like, oh, I know I have to forgive, but then also it's so hard, you know, I went through all of this, because it is very difficult.
And it's your reality. It's the truth of the matter. You went through everything. Your feelings are valid.
Yeah. Yes.
And you have every right to be angry.
Yeah.
Like, anger is... God has been angry at us, you know? So anger is like, it's only natural to be angry when you're wronged. And I think the bearing your heart to God thing is really what it is.
Yes.
You know, when you go to him and you be like, hey, bruh, I can't do it myself.
Yes, come intervene.
And it's, I'm feeling this way, you know. And honestly, if it were up to me, 1, 2, 3, and 4 people, their hearts would stop.
Yeah.
But it's that deep. It is. It is.
I get it. I get that. I'm
like,
I'm like,
I'm like, calling me out. Hold their hearts.
Yeah. Like, it's not like those feelings. As I'm sitting here as a person who I genuinely feel like I've forgiven. Yes. I've had those thoughts like, you understand, you know?
Yes.
And it's a thing of like, it's not gonna be like for everybody, like a, you wake up one morning and you're forgiven someone.
Yeah.
You know, that's why, like, your walk with God, it's very individual.
Yes.
It's your own, pretty, you know? Personal, and like how he works in you is how he will work in you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There are certain things I've struggled with, I struggle with still, and like I'm really struggling with, and I'm really asking God to intervene and work in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm still struggling. Yes. But like with that thing, it was just like a thing of like, I asked and God was like, but
that's amazing.
It's a very freeing thing. I think for me, forgiving was not for them.
Yeah, it never is.
Absolutely nothing to do with them. Mm. It had everything to do with me and my heart. Like I was so angry. You know?
Yeah.
You know, you're just so angry and you're just like walking around angry and life is kicking me already.
Mm, and I don't, you just have that resentment.
Bruh, I don't need to carry this anger. Yeah. Life is kicking me. I'm angry. Like, God, do some.
Yeah.
Like, take out one weight.
Yeah. I get that.
Remove it. And you removed it. Yeah.
I think it's also healthy to realize when trauma is making you a bad person.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Because you can only use that as an excuse for so long.
Yes.
Until you have to sit there and be like, actually,
oh my goodness,
I gotta
yes.
be bigger than this thing, you know? And I think I've had very little patience for people who do use their trauma as leverage to be vile people. Because there are people who've gone through.
If you start now, this an additional hour to this episode.
Literally, I want to be here till, I don't know.
Until Sunday. But yeah, like, I've witnessed people go through, goodness, you know, so many, people who should be dead, do you know what I'm saying? Because of what they've gone through. Yet they're still able to show up as incredible human beings.
Yeah.
And it's an indication that it's possible to live above your trauma and to exist above your trauma. In fact, I think where the power of words comes in is now no longer calling it yours.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Stephanie once actually preached about that. Yeah, like stop claiming it. Like
My trauma, my anxiety, my depression, because then it clings to you even more. You know?
Trauma
so you say
I
exactly the trauma that I have experienced or the anxiety that I experience from time to time.
Yeah.
All these things. So that for me would be the first step into moving away from being one with your trauma.
Yes,
because when you're one with your trauma, you're gonna, you know how they say you're gonna bleed on people who didn't cut you. It's true.
You get a big head. You know that thing of like being one with your trauma, you make it a very individual experience.
Yes.
And you feel like the world is your enemy.
Exactly.
When you claim your trauma, it comes to that thing. You are not unique.
That.
You are not the only one who's seen A, B, C, D, and E.
Your trauma is your entire personality. It's like, you know, when you meet someone and the first thing is like, yeah, so what happened to me when I was young? Like, what about your name? What about the school you go to?
Like, who are you?
Like, you know, what, so I get that.
Yeah. What more do you have to offer as a person?
Yes,
so,
I get
people
that,
like that. As like, yes, you are a victim, né?
Yeah.
But like having like a victim complex
mentality.
Mentality.
I used to. I won't lie, yo. Especially when I was fresh out of it, I was like, yo, I'm like. All of you, like, no one, like, don't even talk to me.
Yeah.
Do you know what happened to me, girl?
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. And that's the thing. It clings to you, as you said, you know.
It
clings to you. And it also makes you a bad person. Because now you feel like, I don't know, like, your wrath is justified.
I get you.
The world should say sorry because you went through this. Because it's so unique. Like, oh, my God, I went hungry. Oh, my God,
that.
I did this.
Yes.
Bruh.
Yes,
you know, it's a big
I get that.
It's a big thing. Talking about your problems, you're not alone.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. And as you were speaking, I thought about a quote. Well, now I'm going to rephrase it because of what you said. So it says, the trauma you experienced is not your responsibility, but healing is, right? So now for you to come out, because I think also in all the women in my life who've always, like, made excuses for all the men who've showed me, like, such terrible examples of what a man should be. Like, the excuse was always like, oh no, do you know, he lost his mom when he was this age. He lost his friend. I have friends who have no parents at all, but are still the most beautiful people, human beings I've ever met before. So it's like, you're pushing 60 and you're still crying about what happened 40 years ago.
Cut it out.
No. Like, so it goes to show, like, the people, if you're doing it now, you're going to be that auntie, that uncle, that grandparent who people are like, ah, you're still crying about. Like,
you're going to be a podcast episode.
Literally. You're going to be getting catching strays mid-podcast. So I get that. I get it.
I have a question for you. So what I'm gauging from your childhood, or the childhood trauma that you experienced, or the trauma you experienced in your childhood, there we go, is that men didn't really show up as men. How did that affect your love life?
So this is the part where you laugh so you don't cry.
Yes, it's the formula.
So oh my goodness, guys, like, where to even start? So with me, right, I've never, like, honestly, looking at my family and the marriages that have been presented to me, it has just been the same thing of infidelity across uncles, across my father, across grandparents. It's just been infidelity, infidelity. And then growing up, when I was about, like, 14 years old, my dad's business failed and he stopped working. And it was so hectic because he had so much pride. He didn't even tell my mom. We just see lights are going off, water's getting cut. Whole time, man has been going out of the house, going to God knows God where, knows but definitely where. Not a job. So now my mom had to pick up financial slack. And I've always just seen her as someone who, like, I've just witnessed that. I've just witnessed a woman who, on her, on the salary that she was making, putting us through school, paying for tuition, keeping up this house, rent, water, everything like that.
Our stories are not unique.
So now, me, in relationships, it presented itself as like, no, I'm going to pay. No, I'm going to pay. It's actually so funny. I was walking down. I remember the one time, I think, we had come from doing an interview at, the morning show. And then we went out for breakfast. And then Tato's like, oh, no, I have it. I'm like, no. Let's split the bill. Like, no, it's fine. I can pay for myself. Like, that thing to, like, that hyper-independence to, like, prove myself. Like, no, I'm here. You know, like, I just never, my best friend says, like, words it as, I never allowed myself to just be in my feminine energy. Like, just be submissive, be that girly, you know, be the lady that I am, be the princess that I am. And I feel like also, I just never had faith. And I feel like even till now, my faith is still shaky. And when I say faith, I mean faith in the fact that good men exist. Because I have just had examples of, like, guys, if it's not abuse, if someone's not getting beaten to a pulp, it's, they're not getting provided for. If they're not getting provided for, it's just emotionally
sometimes
unavailable.
Combination both, you know, combination everything.
And then some of us, we just got the whole package, you know. So it's like, how do I even, like, I've never seen this model to me before. Like, how do I even know what it's supposed to look like? Like, sometimes even in the middle of a movie, I'm just like, what? There's no one's father's doing that. Like, really? So it's actually nice on TikTok to, like, see, like, the girlies do TikToks with their dads and be like, oh, my dad did this, my dad bought me this, whatever. And I'm like, yo, guys, must be nice. So that, and then last thing, which I was thinking about, what was it? Relationships. So something with relationships. Now I just lost my train of thoughts.
We got time, girl.
We'll
let you catch it.
What was it? It was so good. I forgot. Oh, okay. It was what you had said.
Yeah.
So, staying, right? And I never thought I'd be a person to stay. Because remember, I'm the one who's praying like, oh God, please let them divorce, right? Yeah. So funny story, in therapy, I had been crying about a situationship.
Yeah.
Where in this particular situationship, the guy had expressed his mental health problems only when I had threatened to leave.
Oh, goodness.
So now I was like, oh, I'm depressed. I'm on these antidepressants and whatever. And I was like, I'm ready to be this person's Lord and Savior, therapist, psychologist, everything. And I stayed. And every time I'd want to leave, I'd feel guilt. And I was even, like, my therapist was, like, trying to tell me, like, girl, you better leave. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, I feel like I have this responsibility on his life because when he's down bad, he has no one to call except for me. You know, this person wouldn't even call me when he's happy. Only when he's down bad, he would call me. So we spoke about that. We put it to bed. Weeks went by. I started unpacking family traumas. And then I started to express because I went through a season of resenting my mom for staying with him for so long after seeing everything that he had put us through, because I'm like, okay, now you're co-signing everything that we've been through, right? And yeah, man, I love my mom so much, so I even feel bad for saying this, but then it's the truth. I dragged her in those sessions. I'm like, oh, I just can't believe
where,
like,
else are you supposed to drag her?
yeah, that's true. So through, after a couple of sessions talking about mom and why mom did X, why mom let Y happen, my therapist is like, oh, so don't you recognize a similarity? Like, what do you mean? And she's like, no, because you're saying that, you know, you have to be present for him. What if your mom also feels like she has to be present for your dad? I said, you know what?
Why would you call me out like that? I'm about to throw hands. Let's not do this.
Let's wrap this up. Hello? I'm just done.
It's over.
That woke me up. That woke me up so much because I think it just made me think, even though I've never witnessed it in my life, at some point these people were in love, and probably she's just holding on to the memory of, like, oh, this was once a man who cared about me, and I'm just here like, bruh, open your eyes. And that session is what made me leave that man, because I think my biggest fear and nightmare is becoming like my mom in a relationship.
Wow. You just dropped a ball. I relate.
It's actually my first time saying outside of therapy. I'm also kind of getting chills right now.
That is so real.
For all of us.
That is so, you know, that is literally on the memberships topic.
Really?
Five lessons
Oh, yes. I did see.
Actually.
The five lessons, the things we learned from our parents.
And that's crazy because when I saw that memberships thing, I'm thinking, what am I going to talk about? And
This is it.
Yeah.
See, we love y'all. She's just freaking good membership things. Yeah. So while we at it,
yeah,
I think it's time to go into memberships.
We might as well.
But then now we have to say bye to everybody else. If you don't want to say to be bye
okay,
to.
Okay, sorry, the YouTuber is so slow. Sorry, membership. Memberships. Yes. Like, if you didn't pay, outside, VIP, general section, general outs.
How do we leave you guys?
We love you guys so much. Just, you know, we don't have
that is savage. I didn't know memberships meant like general.
That's exactly what it means.
Oh my god.
Well, I'm also bad, y'all. I'm sorry, y'all.
I love you, besties. Oh man, what a wholesome conversation.
Yeah, what a great conversation. We're gonna continue it over on the membership side.
So if you haven't paid, you better pay.
You heard her. Become a member. Guys, comment down below if you love. Obviously, we know you'd love to see Clarissa again on our channel. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you so much.
Please come back. Please come back.
This is not like an interview. This is a family.
Say less. We're besties.
Do you want to do the cues, my love? Oh, yeah. Okay. Subscribe, like, comment, share. It's too late. If you skip the ads, go back and rewatch them and don't skip them.
Chances are the ads are from BetterHelp.
So please share, guys, and comment down below. What should they comment down below?
Yeah, what emoji should they put down below if they've made it this far?
I love the kissy one. Yes, like
the kiss, the lips.
Yes, okay. The lips.
If you've made it this far, comment down the lips.
Because I also close my videos with like a little.
Yes, you do. All right, guys. We'll see you guys next week, Monday at 3 p.m. Bye.